Up next on Flexible Elements, Per Jolborg talks with Andreas Leiter about Odin, a system of self-reconfiguring modular robotics, from IT Conversations. Hi, this is Phil Windley, the executive producer of IT Conversations. Today I'm excited to bring you another program from Flexible Elements with Per Jolborg.
The Conversations Network is a 501c3 nonprofit, and we need your help. For a tax-deductible donation of as little as $5 per month, you can support this channel and the rest of the Conversations Network. So please visit conversationsnetwork.org to become a member and help us continue to bring our programs to the world for free. Our audio files are delivered by Limelight Networks, the high-performance content delivery network for digital media.
And now, here's our program from Flexible Elements.
Welcome to the Flexibility Envelope podcast. I'm here today with Andreas Leiter from University of Southern Denmark's Modular Robotics Laboratory.
Thank you.
We're going to talk a little bit with him. And could you introduce yourself, how you got started in the modular robotics field? And
sure. So thank you for the introduction. So I got started actually when I was doing my bachelor's degree at the university. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of inspired by the Atron, but I had some new ideas and some other ideas which was very different from the Atron. So I teamed up with my supervisor, Kasper Stoy. Mm-hmm. And actually my project started already then from when I started my bachelor's degree. Mm-hmm. We started to make a robot. We wanted to make a robot that had some degree of deformability, mm-hmm. and also we wanted it to be like not a homogeneous system. So we wanted something that was completely different mm-hmm. from mm-hmm. Atron,
since Atron is homogeneous and it just spins, right?
Exactly. So we already had Atron, and we wanted something new, and I found that very interesting. And then I kind of got caught up in it, and now, 7 years later, or 5 years later, I think, I'm still working on it. So,
mm-hmm. and the large part of the time you worked with this new idea called the Odin system, right?
Yes, yes.
And it's deforming, and that's something you could use in conjunction with self-reconfiguring. It's another step when mm-hmm. the modules are configured the way you want to. You can deform the whole structure.
Yeah. So our idea with Odin from the beginning was that not to make it self-reconfigurable, mm-hmm. but
because that problem has already been well researched.
Well, that too, but also that we wanted to use the heterogeneity to take the modules to an even lower level. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like a lower level in the hierarchy. Mm-hmm. So maybe you could build a self-reconfigurable robot from Odin modules. Mm-hmm. That was also the idea. Mm-hmm. So you could make maybe an Odin module that would grab onto another module, and then two Odin clusters could reconfigure into a bigger cluster.
Yeah, like the meter module concept taken to the hardware level.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Because the meter modular concept is something we use to make the reconfiguration problem more manageable.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting. When we're talking about the geometry of the units, mm-hmm. I understand that the force should go through the connectors in a certain way, and that all of this is complicated. Can you talk a bit more about that?
Yeah, mechanically it's very difficult to make something that is deformable to, you know, that would deform a lot, mm-hmm. because there you have limits in all the joints and mm-hmm. all this stuff. And then in terms of the geometry, it's important that, you know, the forces can be evened out, you know, in the structure, so mm-hmm. that not all the forces sit.
So there's no hot spots, so to speak.
Yeah. Exactly. So that's why we made it a lattice-based, mm-hmm. you know, because if we had made it a chain-based, mm-hmm. then you'd depend on one connection mm-hmm. for the entire strength, mm-hmm. basically. So the lattice helps us, gain strength and do collective actuation as well. So
mm-hmm. that the distributes the load put on the solution throughout, and everybody can assume a part of it. Huh?
Yeah.
So that means that the joints are actually not stiff, but
they're spring loaded. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So the difficult thing is getting the degree of freedom, enough mm-hmm. degree of freedom in the joints, but mm-hmm. otherwise it works quite good. So and when you make triangular structures, mm-hmm. of course they will be very rigid, but if you make like square structures, then they become a lot more flexible.
More deformable. Yeah. Are they at the same time then controllable, or are they too squishy to be... Could you make them firm and deformable by changing the actuators?
Yeah, you could make like flexible modules to add in. One of the problems is that it's not flexible enough.
Right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And this is I've understood that this problem comes not from the linear actuator, but from the overall deformability, because you attach things to the end and then the yield simply drops. So.
Yeah, exactly. So one of the problems is that, you know, to get a high deformability, you need quite a lot of extension between the centers of the connection points.
Mm-hmm.
So the sensors of all the nodes in the structure. And it's very difficult to make a linear actuator that would expand a lot because you also have a lot of overhead in the distance between where the linear actuator is connected to the center of rotation of all the modules.
Yeah. So you have to really work on naturally you will work on the linear actuator, but you also have to really carefully watch how much you add to it. Huh?
Yeah.
I've seen simulations of, I mean, you've done fiscal, how many fiscal units are there of the Odin system?
I think we have, you know, when they were all running, we had maybe 10, 15 motor linear actuators.
Mm-hmm. And then passive battery units, communication
units. Passive batteries, communication.
Mm-hmm.
We had a module that would interface with Legos.
Okay. So you could attach Lego pieces to it. Huh?
Yeah.
But I've seen simulations in your... You've made a custom simulation environment for modular robots, and it supports the Odin system, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen simulation there that is larger and actually it's easier. Yeah. Can you tell me a bit more about the results from simulation?
So I didn't do the simulation. The simulation was done by David Christensen.
Mm-hmm.
But what we really just wanted to try is make a big structure and see how it, you know, react if we just expanded and contracted them in random.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to see whether it would become alive, like an organism.
Mm-hmm.
And so you probably saw the video as well where it's moving. It's on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
you have actually said it can locomote itself through a really, really funny gateway where it falls over itself. Huh?
No,
and also pulls itself.
It's actually not able to do the falling over part.
Because it isn't agile enough. Huh?
It's not agile enough, and it doesn't extend the linear actuator. It doesn't extend enough.
Mm-hmm. So it just inches its way forward.
It's like an inchworm. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, moving the center of mass of the structure while moving.
So you put your
put
the force
on one
end. And then you the light side will always move, so you can control the direction. You have gone on to working with another system that we're going to talk about talk about later. Could you tell me what the future is for the Odin system?
I think the future is that it has to be more flexible, and another issue is that it's very difficult to control the deformability.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
you know where you want it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably going to be something where it's easier to place the flexibility and place the rigidity.
Mm-hmm. Has this got to do with the springy connectors, or is it control? It's the springy connectors that are the problem in this.
Yeah.
Okay. But do you see a solution coming there, or is it today an undefined problem there?
So I'd like, you know, to make a deformable robot. I'd like to, you know, move towards something more like tensegrity structures with you know, flexible wires being pulled.
So some stiff units to keep it up, and then wires to
I think that could make, you know, the structure deform even more, you know, because you don't need the mechanical joints, you know, you just it's just
the flexibility comes from the wire. It's not stiff.
Yeah.
It's only stiff when you pull it, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, that looks interesting. Do you know if any research is going to be done in that direction?
No, I don't know.
Okay. So you've moved on to the Thor system.
Yeah.
Could you tell me a bit about how it's built and what kind of experience you brought from the Odin, and then of course I guess the team also brought in the experience from the Atron unit into this.
Yes, so it might not seem obvious, but the Odin is the Thor new robot is inspired by the Odin robot, mm-hmm. even though they're completely different.
Mm-hmm.
What we wanted to do is to take the heterogeneity to an even further extent.
Mm-hmm. Because you realized that was a good thing and you needed more of
it. It was a good thing, yeah. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to do something useful on a centimeter scale,
mm-hmm.
heterogeneity was really a good thing because mm-hmm. you could build grippers and you could build wheels on a centimeter scale, and that would be very useful in mm-hmm. in terms of the contingency challenge and
just normal, very flexible application
yes.
scope, so
yes.
to speak.
Yeah. Also, I thought it was important to make a robot that was intuitive mm-hmm. to the public as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
so that people could see this can actually be built into something.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of the robots we've made, they're very, you know, when you look at them, you don't really see how they can be.
Mm-hmm.
How they can come together mm-hmm. to form a robot.
That's the problem with anything that's really general, that
yeah.
it can be hard to see how to apply it. If I show you a hammer, everybody can tell it's if I ever want to bang in a nail, I'll use it.
Mm-hmm.
But with a general tool, it can be really hard to connect it to a task. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So how what was the fundamental approach, and how did you then build units based on that? For the Thor system,
again, we wanted to make it even more heterogeneous.
Mm-hmm.
We thought, you know, there's a few things that we think we have to comply to when mm-hmm. we're building modular robots. Is that versatility is important,
mm-hmm.
probably the most important.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has to be robust and cheap.
Mm-hmm.
So to make it even more versatile, we wanted to make it easier to extend the robot, you know,
mm-hmm.
to extend it with new functionality. It should be easy to make a new module
mm-hmm.
With new functionality, basically.
Mm-hmm. So this also helps with the fact that you might want the same module, but you might want to revise it and come out with a 2.0 and a 3.0 and
sure,
stuff like
sure,
that.
Sure, yeah. So what I did is I started out making the connector.
Mm-hmm.
Because the connector is really the crucial part, right?
Yeah, fundamental of any modular or reconfigurable robot.
Yes, exactly. So I wanted a connector which could, you know, could be attached to anything. You know,
mm-hmm.
I could take it and maybe screw it onto a chair, and you could mm-hmm. pull the chair or
mm-hmm.
I don't know
mm-hmm.
something.
Yeah, very flexible, very open architecture.
Yeah. Yeah. So and then when I was making the connector, I thought, well, why don't we transfer force, you
mm-hmm.
know, torque through the connector as well.
Oh, yeah.
Because then we could remove, you know, the motor from all the actuated modules. You know,
mm-hmm.
if you were to put a motor in all the wheels and a motor in all the grippers and a motor in all the bending joints and a motor in everything that's actuated,
mm-hmm.
you would have a large overhead in the module you're going to use for mm-hmm. this task.
Yeah, yeah.
So. Because you need a large set, you know, to solve all the
yeah.
the tasks you'll meet. You'll need a large set of modules,
mm-hmm,
different types
and
of modules.
And of course, you could probably also, if you over-design the actuator a bit, you could probably yeah. attach, for instance, a slow, strong motor or a fast but weaker motor. You can have
actually,
different size of motors depending on the
actually,
the
we have gearing gear modules we can attach to the motor to gear mm-hmm. down the motor.
It's yeah, yeah.
So
that takes the general, you have it, yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
yeah.
And that also, you know, it makes it more versatile because, you know, mm-hmm. you don't have to implement a motor and a motor controller into your actuated modules when
mm-hmm.
when you're designing a new module.
Because you'll just rely on the fact that there is a motor module and there's several motor modules, I guess, and then there are several gear mm-hmm. modules that could just give me basically any combination of mm-hmm. RPM and torque I mm-hmm. could imagine. Huh?
Yeah, there's some challenges in that as well, because the motor mm-hmm. control will change,
mm-hmm.
you know, depending on how much gearing you have, depending on what you're attaching, if it's a gripper or a wheel, you know, you want mm-hmm. very... Diverse
it's
performance.
It's not only
the
speed or the torque, it's also what kind of control you need over the motion.
Exactly.
Huh?
Sometimes it's like an absolute position control, sometimes
mm-hmm.
speed control and stuff like that. So there's an interesting thing there that would push also the modular robots
mm-hmm.
in terms of communication, because you know these modules will need to talk together
mm-hmm.
to sort out this motor controlling.
Ah, yeah, discover the morphology of the robot
exactly.
on a lower. We're not talking about whether you're a part of a leg or an arm, but actually, am I a part of of a gripper or a wheel.
Exactly.
So on a lower level. Huh?
Yeah,
I guess, was that a surprise that you had to go up one lower level there with the control also?
No, it's not a surprise. I think it was more like an interesting way to go. So it was one of the ideas of why we went this way.
Mm-hmm. And I guess this means also that the software has to be modular in where you program them. You have to like put the pieces in. Okay, I put them together this way. Now I have to put the software.
Exactly. So the software is not only how you control the robot, how you move the robot around. It's mm-hmm. also like controlling the lower level parts, you know, just... Mm-hmm. Controlling position on a bending joint, mm-hmm. You'd have to do that as well.
Mm-hmm. So does it discover the morphology automatically, or do you have to tell it, okay, I've connected piece A, B, and C, and D in that order?
It's prepared for detecting its own topology.
Mm-hmm. How does it do that?
So basically it has like a small electrical connection in the connectors mm-hmm. that tells the... how the module is connected, because it can be connected in different ways mm-hmm. on a connector. So it tells mm-hmm. in which angle...
Yeah, which modules are connected and how they're connected.
And how they're connected. Yeah.
And that system is flexible. So if I design a module nobody's thought about, I can use this system to talk to my custom software in the other end and say, okay, mm-hmm. now this new model has appeared. And
Yeah. So I'd really like to, you know, to extend the software so that right now the electronics is not ready for it, but mm-hmm. you know, in further research we will probably have it ready at some point. Mm-hmm. I'd really like to extend the software part, you know, the user interface part, mm-hmm. so that you're not configuring the robot on the computer, but you're configuring the robot on hand mm-hmm. and then it just pops up on the computer and you program what you need, basically.
Yeah, that would be really useful.
It's much more hands-on and much more useful. You know?
And then a computer might also, if there is so that you need a back connection from that you're building something, that might not be a good idea. When you put two things together, the computer could tell you that you probably should think of whatever special condition there might be between two modules. For instance, that if you don't have a power source that is powerful enough for this big motor you're putting in, when you attach the battery or the big motor, the system will say that, okay, you have put in so and so, you should probably look at the battery here because we have a more powerful module battery, but you haven't attached it.
Yeah,
you can just say, okay, I haven't done it yet, or yeah. So you get also, the computer can do an analysis of the structure you're building.
Sure, yeah.
Maybe also for center of gravity, which of course is important.
Yeah, good. The nice thing, though, in terms of center of gravity, when you're building it by hand, you have a feel of it all the time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you see it in front of you and it's
intuitive. Yeah, you lift it and you feel it, right? So it's a lot more intuitive, I think, building it physically
than
having to build it in on the computer.
Mm-hmm. This is not a self-reconfiguring system, but could, as far as I understand, the gripper is the gripper for any scale unit is adapted to moving the units around.
Yes, so I made the gripper so it's actually able to grip, you know, to grab mm-hmm. Other modules.
Mm-hmm. So it could become metabolizing and really move its own parts.
Yeah, so you could build a robot with a couple of grippers and mm-hmm. it could assemble copies of itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be cool to see. Mm-hmm. And also it could, of course, it could in a larger sense adapt itself between two tasks, as long as it keeps at least a basic structure and an arm.
Yeah, so the connector is not made to disconnect. You know, it requires some force to disconnect it.
Only
easy kind of to magnetically attach them. Mm-hmm. But then pulling the magnets apart is a bit more difficult.
Yeah, so you probably couldn't use the arm for that. You have to build some form of metabolizing unit.
Yeah, you could make maybe add a module that would do that.
Yeah, especially built for that purpose. Yeah. Did you see the English guy who sold a system?
Yes, I think it was a very interesting a system. And it's funny to see, you know, they've been keeping it secret for a number of years and now they come out with the, you know, completely finished system. That's very different from our world. You know, once we have the idea, we come out with it.
Yeah, in a paper.
Yeah.
I was also a little bit interested. You've made these modules in one scale, so to speak, all the pieces fit together. Mm-hmm. But I guess there's nothing stopping us from going up a scale or going down a scale. And
Yeah, I really liked the system he showed. Mm-hmm. You know, where he could scale it in three different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was an exhibit here in conjunction with IEEE ICRA in Alaska, Anchorage, Alaska, and a person showed a really interesting system looking something like the Thor. Mm-hmm. And I'll link it in the show notes. Can you describe what you learned from that, and what would you like to take with you from seeing his work? And
I haven't really worked it out yet. Mm-hmm. But I found it very interesting. I'm still like kind of thinking how would that inspire mm-hmm. Us to make ours different, and how can we help them maybe to make their system useful. Mm-hmm. It seems like a very complete system, but there's but still they want to do a lot more with it, as far as I understood from the.
Yeah, and also the his joints were not all. It was also a modular system. It was not self reconfiguring. Yeah. So
one of the things he had, a lot of our research is making the robot distributedly talking mm-hmm. together, the entire structure.
Mm-hmm. And each node does its little part and doesn't really require any central control.
Yeah, exactly. So. Mm-hmm. A lot of our research goes into this area. So we spend a lot of time on making the robot, electrically connected and mm-hmm. physically connected between all modules.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He's just a radio-based system, right?
Yeah.
And that limits it severely when it comes to, I guess, not in right now, the number of modules is high enough, but mm-hmm. it also, it the central controller thing, isn't that something we've discovered might not be very suitable? It's hard to control the robot centrally. It should be distributed control.
In some sense, in some cases, you might have a very big robot. Mm-hmm. You know, if you had to make a central control of 100 degrees of freedom, it would be,
really
very
hard.
Difficult.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. You know, you get a lot of degrees of freedom when you're building a modular robot, mm-hmm. and it's.
And that's something we'll have to address.
Yeah,
and I also understand that the Danish team from Modular Robotics Laboratory mm-hmm. competed in the ICRA Contingency Challenge.
We did, yeah.
How did it go? I think.
So there was 2 days, right? Mm-hmm. And the first day, I think, went very well. We finished 4 out of 5, mm-hmm. but there were some really interesting observations, I think, mm-hmm. in our performance.
Mm-hmm.
Also, on the second day, we didn't really succeed. You know, we didn't finish any of the tasks mm-hmm. Because we had some problems with the motor controller. Mm-hmm. So it was the motor was too fast for driving around this gravel.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess interesting also that the gravel system, is so
the
difficult.
Thor system is also very new. I understand you've been working on it less than a year. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, so interesting. The gravel is very difficult to drive mm-hmm. in. You know, mm-hmm. more difficult than you imagine mm-hmm. before you arrive.
You need very precise control over speed and motion. Huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Which is also what another Danish team, the Atron team, succeeded very well in doing and actually won the challenge. So I think we can both congratulate them on that.
Yeah, yeah, they did very well.
Mm-hmm. On both days, I understand.
Yeah, both days they
and
gathered
all tasks,
a lot of
basically,
points and they solved pretty much everything.
Yeah, yeah. So that also shows us the strength of the modular robots that they are, when we get them basically working properly, that mm-hmm. it will be a very powerful system.
And the funny thing about Atron is that, it's not really optimized for participating in a robot competition on mm-hmm. this scale, right, on the mm-hmm. centimeter scale. Mm-hmm. But it did, very well, mm-hmm. and I think that was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In terms of the Thor, we didn't solve anything on the second day, mm-hmm. But we did manage to make a vertical crawler mm-hmm. up the unfortunately, it fell down, but it did work. And if we'd had more time, probably we could have had it crawl up and get some points.
Yeah, and also when you have a more mature system, maybe at the next conference and the next challenge, your system will be more thoroughly worked through, and you'll have an easier time then. Everybody understands it's really hard to do this in less than a year, and then mm-hmm. and then have all the details finished. Huh?
Yeah.
So this was really interesting. I hope that we will see you soon with some new results and some new great actions from the Thor system.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope that somebody picks up the Odin system and continues to work with that too.
Yeah, we haven't, you know, we haven't discarded the idea, mm-hmm. but we just kind of
need to rethink it. Huh?
Moved in another direction for now, and mm-hmm. then we will probably get back to it. Mm-hmm. I think. Mm-hmm.
So thank you, and thank you for listening.
You've been listening to a presentation from Flexible Elements with Per Jobork.
The Conversations Network is a 501c3 nonprofit, and we need your help. For a tax-deductible donation of as little as $5 per month, you can support this channel and the rest of the Conversations Network. So please visit conversationsnetwork.org to become a member and help us continue to bring our programs to the world for free. Our audio files are delivered by Limelight Networks, the high-performance content delivery network for digital media. The post-production audio engineer for this program was Mike Seifried. Our website editor was Cheryl Coe. The series producer is Joel Cherney.
This is Phil Wendley. I hope you'll join me next time for another great presentation from Flexible Elements with Per Jobork here on IT Conversations.